have your Bibles, please take them and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and begin reading with verse 16. As we're talking today on the temporary and the eternal, I know that's a wide subject that goes throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Bible, but yet that's what I want to title the message today, because that's what the Apostle talks about here in the book of 2 Corinthians. That's okay, let's read together. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And let's go to chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because of we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you open our heart and our mind, our life, to the understanding of Scripture and your word. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint your servant to bring forth the word of God today. And Lord, may the lives be encouraged and blessed and strengthened, Lord, as we look to your word today. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. We're talking about the temporary and the eternal. Here, Paul focuses on the temporary as compared to the eternal here and in the Scriptures that we read. And all trials, sickness, tragedy, failures don't last. Everything in this life is temporary. It won't continue forever, nothing. Amen. It's not eternal. And we look today at the things, the plague that's upon our nation, upon much of the world today, and that is the coronavirus. Let's understand this. It's not eternal. It will pass. And I realize that the cost may be of many, or it has been of many lives, physical lives of people. But you and I can drown in fear if we want to, but God doesn't want us to drown in fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, I thank God that we can look at eternity and look at the temporary. And let me assure you that I can preach on eternity, and you don't have to worry about if it's going to take me forever to talk about it. But eternity and the temporal and the temporary. Both heaven and hell are eternal, but our hope is in Christ and eternal hope. And our hope is eternal relationship with Christ, and it is eternal. When you're born again, you're saved. You are born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. God in turn intended to have an eternal relationship with you when he saved you. That is God's will. Amen. And so we know that heaven and hell are both eternal, but God has plans for us to have eternal life. And we have a choice to make on people have a choice to make whether they want to receive Christ or not, and that will seal their eternal destiny. And we live, while we are saved, there are people, we still live in an earthly body until Jesus comes and we receive a glorified body. And Paul says we have this treasure, verse 7 of that chapter 4, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means a physical body made of flesh. And that's where the spirit of man resides until God lifts the spirit out of us and lets us be with him. When you're born again of God's Spirit, the spirit body that dwells inside this physical body, and when you die, that spirit body goes to be with Jesus, and everything that's life goes to be with God when you die. Okay? Soul doesn't sleep. It goes to be soul and spirit don't sleep. They go to be with Christ forever. So our gift of eternal life abides there until we're called by Christ either to go by the way of the grave or in the rapture. And at conversion, the light of salvation comes on, and we are born of the Spirit, born again. Here, Paul encourages the church to focus on the eternal and not on the temporary. We live in a world that's full of people that concentrate on the temporary. What am I going to do today? What am I going to get today? How am I going to live today? What am I going to gain today? What's good for me today? And that is somewhat the natural tendency we think of when we think about the temporary. Years ago, Fidel Castro was asked if he believed he was going to heaven when he died and what he thought about heaven and hell. And his reply was, "I don't believe in either one." I'm sure he believes today, one or the other. And so we do believe in eternal things. And Paul here encourages the church to focus on the eternal and not the temporary. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This present problem, trial, difficulty, whether it's coronavirus or some other difficulty, it will pass. We are progressing toward an eternal goal. And so first, we don't become discouraged or lose heart here, as Paul says in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." Amen. We don't give up. We don't faint. We don't quit because unpleasant things happen, because your life will be full of unpleasant things that happen. And unless you're already in heaven, unpleasant things have happened to you in your earthly life somewhere along the line. And I'm not prophesying that unpleasant things are all that life is about. It's not. There's good times, and God gives us good things and good hope and good love and things to enjoy right here. But yet he has an eternity prepared that can't equal nothing that the world has nothing that will equal what he has in store for us. And so we don't give up. We don't faint. We don't quit because unpleasant things happen. We have walked the path of uncertainty before. Because you and I are not all-knowing, we have walked into things that we wish we hadn't walked into, or things that we couldn't help that we've walked into, and there's been uncertainty there, and wonder what in the world is going to be the outcome of that. Do you know that God has never asked the question? He's never folded his hands and said, "What in the world am I going to do?" God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and God knows what's going to happen before it happens. And so God is eternal, and he loves and cares for you and for me, and I'm thankful that he does. And so we are not exhausted, despondent, or disheartened. We are sustained, encouraged, and emboldened by such an object in view, and that is heaven. But we live in a fallen world, and we have to put up with that. People who do not embrace our eternal perspective, you work with them day by day. You see people that can talk about nothing else except the good time they're going to have on the weekend or on their day off. And there's nothing wrong with having a good time, but many times their idea of a good time is a sinful time. So we do live in a world that's fallen. They do not embrace the hope of eternal life. They do not have an eternal perspective as you and I do. The unbeliever lives for the here and now. What an unpleasant way to live. No hope of eternal life, no eternal love, no bright future. Just live, get sick, and die separated from God forever. My friend, that's not any hope. But in Christ, we do have hope. And the carnal nature of mankind is called the old man. And Scripture is not talking about somebody my age or older. It's talking about the old carnal way of thinking that is in mankind that he was born with, the sin nature. And so, the carnal nature of the old man, it cannot remain for the Christian, for the believer. It has to go. It has to be crucified. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." So we know that the old man, the old sinful nature, has to be put away, and you and I have to live in the spiritual man. Amen. Paul puts it this way in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct before you were a Christian, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. And so that's what we want to be. We want to put on the born-again man. We want to live like we're people going somewhere. We want to live like people that have hope, because we do have hope. We want to live, amen, if there's not another tomorrow and the whole world dies today, we're still on our way to heaven, amen, and we're still on the way to the glorious land. We're still in, pardon me, but we're still on our way to a place where a city where the Lamb is the light, amen, where there will be shouting on the hills of glory, praise God, where the night will never fall, but day and day will last forever, and we'll be with our Christ forever. Praise the Lord. And so Paul could not lose heart. He encourages the church in the same way. We have a glorious future and a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And so there's no place to quit. Let me give you an example of quitting. Have you ever started something and just quit because you got discouraged about it and just couldn't go on? I know we all have. But a preacher, and this is a true story, because I know of who they're talking about, but I'm not going to tell you. But he stood on a Sunday morning, everything was over, and he stood up when it was his time to preach, and he walked up to the pulpit, and because things had happened he didn't like in the church, he said, "I quit." And he walked down from the platform, walked down the aisle, kissed a woman on his way out, said, "I always wanted to do that." And then he walked out the door, and he quit. My friend, you can't quit. To my knowledge, never got repented or got back into the ministry. I don't know. But you see, the outward man is perishing in this body. We don't like to think about it, but our body is aging. It is wearing out and eventually will wear out. If you didn't know that already, I thought you needed to know. But yet this body that God that we have is going to be transformed into another body. God's going to give us a glorified body. And I'm looking forward to it. I know all of you are. Praise the Lord. And Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service of worship." And he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. Our lives are a sacrifice of praise to God. That's what we are. We're here not for ourselves. We're here to worship God. We're here to represent Christ in a world that doesn't know anything about him. And I'll tell you, friend, we've got good news, the best news there's ever been to give to the world, that God can save the lowest and the vilest sinner, and the blood of Christ can make him clean and whiter than a driven snow. God said to people in the Old Testament, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We have a wonderful future ahead of us, friend. Amen. And our future is not temporary, it's eternal. Praise the Lord. And so our part is to pray through until we're filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things." It goes on. That's a great chapter, Ephesians 5. Actually, 1 through 6, it's all good. Praise the Lord. And so our affliction is temporary. Let's move to this. We don't become discouraged, number one. Number two, our affliction is temporary. Verse 17. Paul says, our light affliction. Paul had such an eternal view of God in the future that he could say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And our affliction is temporary. It is momentary, called here by Paul a light affliction. And when we get through reading about Paul, we're going to think he had anything but a light affliction. He had a heavy affliction. But he says our light affliction because he had such a great view of eternity. You see, coronavirus will come and go. One day it will be history. It'll be a thing of the past. We'll look back and thank God he sustained us, brought us through. But the writer here, Paul, he had many difficulties and was persecuted greatly. And let's just back up a few verses. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Let's look at it here. "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Okay, and then after that he says, we have a light affliction. Paul had some things to be worried about. He was any day, you know, there's a scripture that's often misunderstood. It says, Paul said, "I die daily." It didn't mean that he died to the flesh daily. It meant that he was in the position of being executed for his faith any day. And Paul expounds a little more upon his this light affliction that he had. Okay? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, he said, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes." He knew what it was to be beaten for his faith. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." He's not drunk. They threw stones at him to stone him to death. God healed him. "Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night have I spent in the deep." There's one 24-hour period that Paul spent 24 hours treading water to stay afloat so he wouldn't drown. Light affliction, he calls it. "In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Then he could say, "For our light affliction is but for a moment." I want to tell you, that was a man that was eternally minded. He wasn't carnally minded, he was spiritually minded. And he was the worst of sinners before he was saved. As a matter of fact, he said, "I was the chiefest of sinners because I persecuted the church. But God saved him, turned him into another man, became the greatest preacher of the gospel the world's ever known." Okay? And so he said, "For our light affliction is momentary." Amen. And whatever you're enduring today, it will pass. Church, we're going to make it through this. We are the church that Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against. My friend, the church of God is not going to be destroyed. And we're not talking about some building. We're talking about people that are born again and saved. That's really the church. And so the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, regardless of what the enemy can bring against the world or bring against you personally. He cannot steal your soul. God has it in his hand. Praise the Lord, you're born again. You're a child of God. The Bible says, beloved, now, not later, not some other time, but now we are the sons of God, children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The Bible tells us that. And so, gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. Don't lose out. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. This thing will pass. We need to learn from this trial. And Paul said from a Philippian jail, not the most pleasant place in that day. They didn't have color TV. They didn't have anything. They were treated very ungodly. But Paul said, "I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content." How could he be content? Because he had Christ. And he knew that the best was yet ahead. I have learned. We learned. We can learn from this, my friend. Whatever we're out of church or not able to fellowship as much as we want to, we can learn to fellowship with God, with Christ. And our relationship with God can grow much stronger. There is no testimony without a test. No victory without a fight. Goliath can't come down unless you fight him. And you will win with Christ, even as David overcame Goliath. There's no victory over anything unless we are given God's power and receive his deliverance. And Paul's focus on the future enabled him to properly assess problems and see how small they were compared to with the eternal results. He said to the church at Philippi, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He had his heart and his mind set on eternal things, not temporary things. There's no comparison with temporary trials as with the glory which shall be revealed in us when we're with Christ. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But he's revealing them to us by his Spirit. Amen. Let's move on. The third the seen and the unseen. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. A kindergarten teacher was observing the little kids in her class as they were drawing pictures. She'd encourage them to draw a picture, whatever they had in mind, just to draw it. As she approached, one little girl who was working very especially hard, noticeably hard, and she asked what the drawing was, and the little girl told her, said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher smiled sweetly and said, "No one actually knows what God looks like." The little girl's response was quick and automatic. She continued drawing. She said, "Well, they'll know what he looks like when I get through with this picture." Yet we cannot see God visibly with our eyes. We will see him one day. See him as he is. Praise the Lord. And it says here, we do not look at the things which are seen. The word look here actually means to keep one's eye on, to consider, or to contemplate. The noun form of this verb means a goal, as Paul said to Philippians. In order not to lose heart, the believer needs to shift his or her focus from that which is seen to that which is not seen. The things that are seen can discourage us many times. What do they see in this earthly life? Yes, God does allow us to enjoy things in this life, gives us health to work, provision, to have children, rejoice, and grandchildren. Yet we see the work of evil in our society daily in every aspect of life. And if we look at this life and we don't have an eternal perspective, we can become discouraged very easily because it seems like there are more evil today than we ever heard of, or things happen that we couldn't imagine would have happened ever in our lifetime. But you see, the unbeliever lives for the here and now. That must be an unpleasant way to live. No hope of eternal life, no eternal love, no bright future. Just live, get sick, and die separated from God forever. My friend, that is all the world has to offer. Because to live for the here and now only, that is the end result. You're separated from God forever. You don't want to be separated from God forever when God so freely has given his salvation, given his life. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But that carnal nature called the old man is there. And Paul says, to put off your former conduct, sinful nature, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Because you see, when a person is sinful in their nature and their goal is to progress for spiritual things, it becomes worse and worse and worse, and sin grows and multiplies until it consumes and finally kills a person. Spiritually, and it can physically. And so, our affliction is temporary. It's not eternal. Amen. Seen and unseen. But we see the work of evil in our society today. Broken families, we see broken hearts and broken homes and broken governments and things only God can fix. Let me just give you a word of encouragement here. God hadn't forgotten you because you're divorced or you're rejected by your companion. God loves you. God wants to help you. God wants to straighten your life out. God does not hate you because you've had bad times and things in your life. God doesn't hate you because you have made bad decisions in your life that's got you where you are. Jesus died to clean all that up from you and give you hope instead of what you've done to yourself. God cares for every person, regardless of what sins they've committed. God can redeem and make the vilest sinner clean through his blood. Hallelujah. And so we live in a world of broken hearts, broken lives. Coronavirus has killed numerous people. It's killing numerous people. I don't know how long this will go on. I just know that if it happens to me, if it happens to you, if you're saved and born again, it'll just be transported immediately into the heavens, into the presence of God. All man's efforts can never bring a permanent solution. It takes God. Man has temporary solutions. God has eternal, permanent solutions. And temporary solutions, a car can be repaired, vehicles, if you've got a mechanic doing it and you don't have me doing it. It can be repaired. Houses can be repaired and fixed up. And damages that have done to property can be done for a price. They can be fixed and they can last for a while, but they are temporarily always having to be replaced and fixed again. That's the reason people trade cars, they trade homes, they trade everything. Because nothing is a permanent solution. It takes God to do that. And so, there's one thing that doesn't have to be replaced. Christ in your heart cannot be replaced by somebody else or some other religion or something else. It's there for God. Temporary solutions, yes, I'm glad we've got them, but they're not eternal. That's the things that are seen. The things that are not seen. And this old body that we live in, it's in Scripture, it's kind of discouraging and encouraging at the same time. How can it be? Well, your looks or your form or your shape right now may not be encouraging to you when you look in the mirror. But you have eternal hope. It won't always be this way. By the way, unless you should start a gossip session, y'all are all beautiful and handsome this morning. So I'm not talking about you. Okay. And so this earthly body is groaning for the eternal. Amen. It says here in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, he's talking about the physical body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with heaven, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God is going to put you where you can face eternity and live in eternity without the fear of either being sick, dying, death, or famine, or any of the things that characterize the world that we live in. Things that are not seen. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Romans 8:22, he says, we groan. No, he says, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. The whole creation, amen, that would mean all animals, birds, and tigers, and all kinds of stuff. They groan waiting for a better time. And if you want to see what that better time will be, I encourage you to read Isaiah 35. Amen. You can remember that chapter by just thinking of Isaiah 35. And it'll tell you the lion and the lamb are going to lay down together, the cow and the barrel eat straw like an ox. They'll not destroy all my whole. There's God's going to, no, they don't have souls. No, there's not a heaven and a hell for dogs and cats. But yet, things are going to be changed when Jesus returns, sets up his earth, his kingdom. Romans 8, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those who are saved, born again, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Amen. We're looking forward to that. And so we are people who are in eternally bonded. We have an eternal mindset. Praise God. As a matter of fact, Paul says we really don't belong here. Amen. It doesn't mean that your suicide is the answer. Suicide is never the answer. It'll send you to hell. It's murder without the chance to repent. But in Philippians chapter 3, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the body he has when he rose again from the dead. Amen. By the working by which he is able even to do all things to himself. My friend, there's heavenly things ahead for the child of God. Praise the Lord. And I can't help but read it. Praise God. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise the Lord. And I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. because in heaven there's nothing to cry about. And there shall be no more death, no funerals, no sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain. People today have pain in this, that, of the head, shoulders, whatever. Some people are just a pain. But there will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said, "It is done. It's considered by God an accomplished work. We haven't seen it yet. It's not come into our view yet. But my friend, the eternity that God has, when God says he's going to do something, it's as good as done. We've got the wonderful thing, wonderful eternity. Had my friend lived for God, served God, while we go through this coronavirus thing here, it is an eternal. All earth calamities are an eternal. Sickness, sorrow, pain are not eternal. Amen to the true believer. But our salvation, our hope, our dwelling place with God is eternal. Let us therefore redeem the time that is at hand. Make good use of your time. Praise God. There's times you're shut in or you're quarantined or whatever. Take that time to read your Bible, to pray, to get close to God. My friend, this book will become more real to you as you begin to bury your head in it and study the Word of God. As you begin to seek out the chapters. Amen. As you begin to seek out the good things that God has, it'll mean more to you. It's a time to draw near to God, not draw near to the world, but to draw near to God. Amen. The Bible tells us Jesus... The book of James tells us, draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And he says, get close to God. He will not ever leave us or forsake us. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. You won't be ashamed if you'll seek God with all your heart. Scripture famous, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Praise God.